Welcome to Microsoft Mechanics. Coming up on the show, if you want to work with external partners without the pain of managing their users in your own directory or federating your domain with your partner's domain, then this is the show for you. Over the course of the next 10 minutes, we're going to take a look at the Azure AD B2B service, a new service that's going to help you set up external collaboration quickly and securely. And we're going to show you how to do that even if your partner doesn't have Azure Active Directory in place yet. So I'm joined by Arvind Suthar from the Azure AD team, who's been working on simplifying this external collaboration. Arvind, welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
So it's a common scenario for pretty much every organization to share and collaborate with external partners. What are you doing that's making that easier?
The way companies traditionally have done this is through per-partner federation. This is complex, both for the company and for their business partners. In many cases, companies do business with IT organizations that are less savvy and don't have the ability to buy a bunch of servers or set up federation relationships. To get around this complexity, what companies often do is set up these accounts in their own directories. The trouble here is that these accounts get stale. Users continue to have access to your corporate resources after they leave the partner company. The basic premise of Azure AD B2B is to simplify sharing your applications with your business partners, even if they've never heard of Azure AD. You want your partners to manage their users' identities so that you can focus on managing what they have access to.
I've got to admit, this has actually always been a huge challenge for me. Setting up federation has always been quite kind of difficult. How does this actually work?
So let me show you. So say I'm from Contoso. Here are the applications that I have access to as an employee at Contoso. I'm interested in sharing, my Salesforce application and SharePoint. Mm-hmm. So the first thing you want to do is you want to make sure that SharePoint online external sharing is turned on. So here we go into the Office admin portal, and we can see that external sharing is turned on. Second, we want to make sure that the sites that you want to share are properly permissioned for external users. So we go into the permissions of this site. We see that the site is inheriting permissions from its parent, so we go to the parent site to set the permissions, and we want to grant permissions here. Mm-hmm. So what I've done is I've created a group called externals, where all the partner users will be added as we go through this demo. So we want to make sure that that group is able to access this this site.
And because Office 365 uses Azure AD in the background, you're actually creating an Azure AD group.
That's right. Azure AD is the foundation of all collaborative features in SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and so that we're using the same foundation.
Excellent. Okay.
Okay, so we've now credentialed, we've authorized this SharePoint site to allow people from the externals group to have access. In the Azure portal, we're going to go and kick off the invitation process. So in order to do that, we go to the Users tab, we select Add User, and we add users in partner companies. So we have to browse for a CSV file in order to do that. We're going to upload our Simon MSMEC file here. So while this file is processing, let's take a look at all the fields in the CSV, because there may be some that you might not have seen before. We went with a CSV file format because people have wanted to invite thousands of their business partner users. I'm going to invite Simon, who has an Azure AD account. And by the way, if you subscribe to any of Microsoft's business cloud services, you already have an Azure AD account too. Simon has Office 365. I'm also going to invite Garth Fort, who isn't yet in Azure AD, and show you how that works. In this case, I want to give Simon and Garth Fort from Fabricam access to SharePoint, and also provide Garth access to Salesforce. We'll fill in Simon's email address and display name. We won't fill in the invite app ID, so we'll just get the default branded email and redeem experience for Simon. We want Simon to go directly to SharePoint when he redeems his invitation, when you redeem your invitation. So we filled in the invite reply URL. And we aren't assigning Simon directly to any apps, so we'll leave the invite app resources column blank. And we're putting Simon in that externals group that we previously configured in SharePoint. We specify a group identifier here because group names are not unique. So we need to get this unique identifier. And we can do that by calling getMSOLGroup in PowerShell. Let me show you what that looks like. So getMSOLGroup, and that pipe is just formatting that command so that we can see exactly what we're looking for. So here we see the externals object identifier. And that is the object identifier that's here in the CSV file. And I fill in the invite contact us URL with a link to my LinkedIn profile. We also fill in Garth's email address and display name. And this time we fill in the app ID because we want to brand the experience for the email that Garth will get and his redemption experience with the application that we're sharing with him. And in this case, we're sharing Salesforce, and we can go back to PowerShell and get the app ID. It's actually the app principal ID for Salesforce by GetMSOL service principal. Again, we want the display name and the app principal ID. And Salesforce is this CD3 identifier, mm-hmm. which we're populating here in the invite app ID field. We are going to drop Garth directly into the access panel because we want Garth to see all the icons representing the applications that we've shared with him. And again, the invite app resources represents the apps that we're directly assigning to Garth. And we're giving Garth access to SharePoint as well. So we have the group identifier there. So Simon, you should have received the email invitation by this point.
Yeah, so I've got an email that's that Arvin just sent to me. And it is my Contoso application invitation. You can see it's got all the company branding in there, which is kind of nice. I'm going to go and click on the redeem link just in the middle here. And it's going to obviously open up another tab inside of my browser. And it's now asking me to accept the invite. So I'll click on accept. And that's taking me into the team site exactly that you just shared with me. So that's pretty cool. That seemed to be a very nice end-to-end experience for a user that's already inside of Azure Active Directory. What about if you're sharing with a company that isn't using Azure Active Directory yet?
For Garth, yeah. So let's take a look at Garth Forth's invite. OK, here is Garth Forth's invite. We set context here so Garth can see that it's Contoso that's invited him, and Contoso has invited him to access Salesforce. So let's go ahead and accept this invitation. I'm about to sign up here for a new account in Azure AD. Just entering my password twice. You'll notice there's a country code here. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. What this is doing here is provisioning an Azure AD tenant and me as an Azure AD user with that credential into the directory so that I can get access to what's been shared with me. Here I am. I'm logged in as Garth Fort, and I have access to the Contoso application. So I'm a member of the Fabricam directory. That's my home directory. And Contoso is this external directory that I've been invited to. And we can see what I have access to here. I have access to Salesforce because the admin of the Contoso directory shared it with me.
It feels like we've really simplified the experience here for the IT admin. And it seems like a great experience for the end user as well. But what's actually going on behind the scenes inside of Azure AD to make all of this work?
Yeah, of course. Before, you would have to contact your partner's IT admin, mm-hmm. Get a certificate from him, do some exchanges of what your endpoints are, negotiate what those protocols are going to be. And we've dramatically simplified all this by pushing that complexity to the cloud and letting all that negotiation happen in Azure AD. So behind the scenes, this is what happens. The admin creates the invite. So that will create an external user object in the sender's Azure AD awaiting confirmation. And that's going to actually trigger the invitation email. Now the recipient gets the invite email. I'm going to take you through what happens when the recipient actually has an Azure AD account, in your case, an account in MSMEC.
Cool.
By accepting the invitation, you'll authenticate against your own AD, creating a security token that can be used to confirm the external user object. And now the external user, you, have access to the resources that have been shared with you. Once that security token is read, the external user object is completed and the user has access to the resources that have been shared with him. Now I'm going to show you what happens if a user doesn't already have an Azure AD account, like Garth Fort from Fabricam. When accepting the invitation, the user will be presented with a sign-up dialog to create an account in Azure AD. And just like we saw before, when you authenticate against this account, the security token will be used to confirm the pending invite. And once the external user object is completed, then that user has access to the resources that have been shared with him.
So this all looks pretty slick. What are the main advantages for organizations of actually using the service?
So partners get single sign-on to resources that you've shared with them without needing to set up any infrastructure. In the MSMEC case, when you leave your company, you'll no longer have access to resources that I've shared with you.
Are there any sorts of applications that you can't share in this way?
Well, we support SaaS apps, including Office 365, Salesforce, Azure Services, and every mobile and cloud, mobile and on-premises app that supports claims-based authentication. We are working on other authentication protocols like Windows Integrated Auth.
I've got to kind of ask this question because I know folks out there are going to want to know. Do we support using multi-factor authentication with Azure AD B2B?
Yes, as long as your partner has it configured.
It sounds like there's a lot of things covered here. What else are you going to build into the service?
Well, we're doing a lot of work to make collaboration easier. Some of the features that I'm going to tell you about are probably going to be in production by the time this show airs. Today, we support MFAs if your partner has it. We're working to enforce MFA policies even if your partner doesn't have it so that you can apply your MFA licensing to your partner's authentication. We're working on external groups, which will free you from managing your partner users at an individual level and let you manage them at a group level. And we want to enable partner users to sign up with social identities as well. We're working on better usage reporting and attestation to give you better control and visibility on these users. And we want to let you define password policy and tenant branding for these email verified tenants that get created.
That's great. So how can these folks try the service now?
So the feature is free. It's there in every Azure AD instance, paid or free, part of Office 365. If you have Office 365 EMS, Intune, or any service on Azure, you have Azure AD B2B.
Arvind, thank you very much for joining us on Microsoft Mechanics. That is all we have time for. Keep watching Microsoft Mechanics on Wednesdays or as news breaks for the very latest in tech updates. Thank you very much for watching.